Late night. What's up, everybody? I'm back. Y'all know I had to take a break. But welcome back. Or I don't know, is it a welcome back when I've been gone for a while? You guys should be welcoming me back, right? I'm glad to be back. It is the 5x5 late night podcast. My name is David. And yes, we took a little break because I have been so absolutely tired, and I'm just finally, like I say sometimes, I'm finally seeing some light at the end of the tunnel. But that all might change in 30 minutes when my work phone will start ringing and I have to leave. So we'll see. I get anxiety now because at 11 and 12, that's when I have staff changes, like a shift change at my site. You remember when I used to work, when I told you guys that when I used to work my previous position, I would get off at 12 o'clock at night and someone would relieve me. So now that I'm over multiple sites, I have anxiety about somebody calling in and I'll have to go. How horrible is that? I won't go work. How horrible is that? I'm tired. I've had very few days off to do anything. I've been working sometimes 20-hour days. And it was not what I signed up for, and I'm giving myself, and I'm not a quitter. I'm definitely not a quitter, but I'm giving myself 30 days to see if the workload changes, because I don't think I can maintain this getting 4 hours of sleep a day, but. It's definitely been a challenge, and it's something that I wasn't totally expecting, and I kind of had an inkling what happened in this particular position, but it's really not what I was expecting. Because I mean, you guys, I really had not had any sleep today. I worked on weekends before, but now my day started at 6 o'clock in the morning. I mean, y'all know I'm not an early boy. You know, I like to sleep in and get that sleep in, but I stay up late. But I used to stay up late. I don't anymore. You know, as soon as I come home, I'm in the bed. I'm like, okay, I got to sleep, because I don't know when my next opportunity to have some rest is going to come. So I'm like, I got to sleep. and that's all I think about. And then when you're that tired and you won't sleep that much, you have anxiety about it. So I have anxiety about time now. I have anxiety about sleeping. And then you don't get any sleep because your mind's always working. I have 1,001 things to do. And dealing with, and I've managed people before. And I guess depending on what profession or area you're in, management, you know, retail management is easy. I don't know about like factory. I don't know what that type of management. I've never been in that particular field before, but this is like, you know, home health care management. It's not easy, and I want everybody to be like me. You know, when I was in that position, I'm like, well, why don't you think like me? And I have a difficult, because a lot of things that for me, as I think is for me, is common sense. And I don't know if people don't think that way. I'm like, just stop and think. And, you know, and then I'm turning to, people will like to say that I'm some raging bitch and I'm mean, I'm cold hearted and I don't have any feelings, which that may be true, but I'm really am not, and unfortunately there's some people that think that way, but I will not be taken advantage of. I'll try and I'll try until I'm like, yeah, I'm done trying with your monkey ass, so I'm done. And so I've had to have some have I've had I've had to have I've had to have some difficult conversations with some employees of mine, and I'm like, then I'm thinking to myself, you can say that to me. If I was talking to me, that would be a problem, and but I just want people to think and learn how to think for themselves and be a part of learning, because everybody makes mistakes. Everybody, clearly everybody doesn't think like me. Everybody has a different path to get to where to solve a situation, to solve a problem. Mine is just the better path. At least I think it is. But now that I'm the boss. The thing is, when I give you specific instructions, do it this way, and you will never have any problems. This is where I messed up in the past doing it that way. This is what the problems I had. These are the consequences of making those choices. Do it this way, and I never had any consequence. But sometimes people have to learn lessons the hard way, and but that's okay. Long as we get to the same place and we're all on the same page, and that's what I'm trying to. It's been what, 30 days? Well, more than 30 days. I started on December 1st, if you guys remember. So it's been like a month and a half, and I haven't had a chance to enjoy the benefits that come with the job, and because, like I said, I'm working every day. I was looking at my expense report the other day, and every day I have something down every day because I've worked every day and I'm going out of town all the time. And it's like, it's too much. It is way too much. And I was like, when does this unrealistic expectation cease? Talking to my colleagues, they're like, yeah, it doesn't. You just do what you can do, and then I'm finally learning, well, I can only do so much in a course of a week, and I can't. And I'm a micromanager, unfortunately, and I'm hands-on with everything. I'm hands-on. I enjoy being hands-on, and I had to remind myself I'm not that employee anymore. I'm different, not different in the sense of that's not my job anymore. So, and so, but I'm I want to be in there, and I'm like, okay, do it this way, let's do it, and it just doesn't work, because when, well, it doesn't matter, it just doesn't work, and I need to learn how to step away and let somebody, the person whose job it is. Let them do their job, and I'm learning that, and so I know my calendar. And it's funny, I never really I plan a lot for certain things, but I never lived by a day-to-day calendar. I have this calendar book now. This is a requirement of my job, and I have these things. And the funny thing is, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, oh my God, these days are so full. How did I get to do all these things? And it's like, wow, that was a lot. So next week, my calendar is a little light, so I have some things I need to take care of. I still have an early week. I have to be at work at least by 7:30, so I still have an early week. And hopefully, I'm off tomorrow. This is going to be one of my very first days off since Christmas. I'm going to be off, and I'm not going to be doing anything. So I'm going to take the opportunity maybe to meet with some friends, go have some lunch or some dinner or something. So if you guys are listening, I'm available. It doesn't happen often. So you need to give me a holler. But anyhow, only one anyhow on the very first, what, 15 minutes, 9 minutes. I'm really glad to be back because I have missed you guys. I have missed talking to everyone. I had gotten down, right after Christmas, and then I just, had to start thinking. Some things are just not meant to be, and I think when you embrace that and you're okay with it, that's such a weight to be lifted. And I although I'm a catty bitch, yes I am, I'm just, well, here, this explains it more.
See, that's how my disposition gets when my blood sugar drops, just like your face, all of that right there. It's a big mess what's going on here.
So, have you guys heard that? That's from Lexi Television. If you go to Lexi Television on YouTube, it comes from a skit done by Lexi called What Black People Say at Weddings. And it's the absolute funniest thing that I've heard in a very long time. And my best friend and I, we you know, there's a lot of texting going on, and when we're talking about something, we'll go, I got two, this is why the name of the podcast is, I got two words for that, girl, bye. You know, so and the situation I was going through with ex-friends, and girl, bye. You know, I'm not that boy. You know, I'm not going to be that person. And I already tell this job, girl, bye. I got two words to say about that job. Too much. And I'm done. I'm not going to say no more. So if you listen, you found that to me, it's very humorous. And I've been quoting it a lot. I'll get something and I'll wear it out to death. You know what I'm saying? I actually did go to the boat today and the casino boat, right? In the course of my job, believe it or not, I went and I gambled. I don't know if that's really right. Can I do that on the job? I was on my job. And so I went to the boat and took $20, got down and on the penny slots, got down to like, I don't know, 13, 14 bucks. And I'm like, oh, I'm taking $10 home. And then the last thing I hit, I got some kind of bonus and it gave me 15 bucks. And I got like, I got a total of 30 bucks. So I came home with $10 more. Then I took and I hit that cash out button and cash it in. And then I left. But I was working. So I get paid, well, kind of, to do what I was doing. But it was busy. And sometimes when you see these people down there, they're so... and I'm sure these people, the way they look, you guys are here a lot. You know, the last time I was at the boat was maybe back in the summer, I think. And I don't do that because I don't be that person just hoping for some luck, you know, to shoot out of the slot machine. I don't want to be that person. And they're like, and I'm like, yeah, how much money would you save if you were just saving your money instead of sticking in a slot machine? Now, I'm sure there's some people down there that are independently wealthy or retired. They don't have nothing else better to do. But there's some people, not that I'm judging, that was on there like, yeah, maybe you need to sit it on down and go on back home because you look like you barely got two quarters to rub together. Not that they, you know, people, not to judge a book by its cover. This is the way I see it. And the look of desperation on some of the faces is like, it's kind of sad. And I think I said that before the last time I was at the bar. I'm like, yeah, maybe y'all shouldn't be doing that. You know, and that's why I don't get caught up in gambling because I've had a family member that was pretty heavily into gambling with the scratch off tickets and horse races and things like that. And so it's like, that's not very appealing to me. But, you know, everybody has their vice, and I know I definitely have mine, but I hope you guys are doing well. And I'll say it again, I miss you guys, every 1,004 of you guys. 1,004 of you guys, you know, y'all came by and said, what's up? 1,004. But still unbelievable, but I do appreciate each and every one of you guys. Hopefully the show will get better. I'm transitioning hopefully into something new and more exciting, and bringing back my original cast, hopefully, of the 5x5 Real Talk show. Fanboy Weekly will be returning soon. When I get some time, you know, it's right now, it's all time. I wouldn't say time sensitive, but my timing and work is, it just has to be right. And when I'm not absolutely exhausted, actually, I came home today at 4:30. I worked early, did some training Early, and then I had some of my weekly work that I had to do. I'm learning if I get that my weekly work done early, it gives me I'm not so stressed during the week about I got all these other things to do, but I still have to get my weekly work done. So I got that done. So I'm more than halfway done with that. So I plan on getting it done tomorrow, but it's gonna be a lax day because I'm not gonna do a lot of work tomorrow. But it's okay. It's okay right now. So you guys pray for me, or send me a well wish, or some good vibes because your boy needs it. Your boy needs it. But what have you guys been up to? What have you guys been up to? Like I said, we're transitioning here at the 5x5, and some of the old shows will be returning, and maybe in just a new way. And oh, and look for me on Jaded Tristan's new show starting February the 5th. I forget the time, but if you go to Jaded Productions on here, I'm sure you can find out what time I will be joining Chris, Gary, and Tristan for their new endeavor. So that should be really fun. I like hanging out with those guys. So hopefully that timing will be okay too. And I don't miss too many shows, but I plan on doing that and I plan on having a great time with those guys. It's going to be a lot of positive energy and something that I'm not in control of. So I can just sit back and just relax, and just chime in every now and again. Unlike this, which, like I said, I started alone and I will end alone and I can stand alone. And but this is fun for me. This is therapy. I have missed you guys and I have missed talking. I have missed just doing what we do here, a little shade, a little gossip, a little bit of laughs, a little bit of laughs, a lot of some laughs, y'all know what I'm talking about. I had well, you know what, we're gonna take a break, and when we come back, we're gonna talk a little bit about Chevy Chasers. There's a guy that's who wrote a book, and I think they're making it like a little web series television show. And the Whitney Houston movie debuted tonight, y'all. I don't know if it was as bad as the Aaliyah movie, but it was very close. And then there was a Bobby Brown interview afterwards. That was a total mess. And then also, have you guys seen that new show? I don't know if it's on the Learning Channel. It might be TLC. It probably is TLC. It's called My Husband's Not Gay. And I'm like,
I got two words, girl, bye.
That's what I was thinking. I got two words, girl, bye. Anyhow, when we return, we're going to talk about that all and more and catch up a little bit more when we return for our show. Thank you, guys. It is the 5x5 late night show, special edition on Saturday because I normally don't do podcasts on Saturday, but I wanted to talk tonight. And we'll be back. Thanks, you guys, for listening. Yeah, y'all don't know anything about no Sybil. Y'all remember that from back in the days? I think it's like an early 90s song, right? Sybil with Don't Make Me Over. It was actually a cover of a Dionne Warwick song from the 70s, I think. And she did a really good job. She had two hits, and they were both Dionne Warwick remakes. I forget what the other one was. But welcome back. It is the 5x5 Late Night Show. My name is David. And hopefully going forward, I will catch up the blog and the Facebook and all that good stuff, because I really haven't been posting much because my black ass has been at work. Well, been working. I really don't go to work. Been working. But you can find Don't Make Me Over on iTunes, and there's some other little services out that you can find it on. I paid for it, so can you. but no, the part, last part of that song, I like, because she was like, accept me for all the, for what I am, accept me for all the things that I do, you know. And I that's one of the main reasons why I've liked that song for so many years, because that part is so powerful. The rest of the song means nothing, you know, how her vocals delivery is very, very okay, regular. But at the very end, you're like, you know, that's what made for me, that's what made the song. And I can pull that part out. I'm like, yeah, I just, sometimes you want to just take pieces of song and just shove them down people's throats, you know, because everybody's just so judgmental, and they're so quick. And I can be quick to take I have the same problem. I can be quick to be offensive, but I think a lot on the defense. But only when I'm hurt. I don't lash out on people when I'm not hurting, or when I'm not hurt. And some people think that that's okay to brandish their kind of pain and hurt and nonsense onto others, and expect it to be tolerated and not be called out on it, and not owning your bullshit. And like I said, my New Year's resolution this year was, I'm calling out everybody on your bullshit. You know, hey, call me out. You know, I might not like it, you might not like the response, but hey, you can call me out. I don't care. But you know, own your bullshit. I'm gonna try to own mine as best I can, you know, and just own your bullshit. I don't want all that extra, because when we don't start accepting things that may not be, what's the word I'm looking for? May not be as nice or great about us. You know, we have to accept the bad things about us, and we have to be able to speak that truth. And you're not able to speak that truth, even with people you consider friends, then that's when problems happen. I've always been very, very forward and upfront and very blunt about how I conduct my life and how I conduct my interactions with other people. Sometimes I'm a little bit reserved when you're still learning and you're trying to figure out somebody. But most of the time, I'm the same person everywhere, you know. Whether it's a good thing or not, you know, I own some of the bad stuff that comes along with that, because I can be a little much at times. But, you know, hey, it is what it is, and I'm making no apologies for it, you know. And again, accept me for what I am, accept me for the things that I do. Because don't see me in one light, because that's the part that you like about me. And then the part that you do not like about me, don't penalize and use that against me to make me over into what you want me to be. I said that. Okay, anyhow, second anyhow of the night, or third, maybe fourth. TLC TLC debuted a show that the gays lost their mind on. I wasn't going to watch it, but I happened to be at work one night, and I'm like, ah, let me go on and see what I seen that was on, and I knew it was coming. I think I even mentioned it. And the show was, well, the title alone, you know, is a mess. And it's called My Husband's Not Gay. Now, remember a long time ago when I told you guys my coming out story and all that kind of good stuff, how my boyfriend at the time, the wife, I was young and stupid. I'll never make that mistake again. The wife calls me at my job at the time, and she's like, oh, well, my husband really isn't gay, and you're just making him gay. I was like, if this was available,
I got two words, girl, bye.
If that was available back then, that's what I would have used and been done with it, you know. But, you know, she's like, oh, you know, my husband's not gay, blah, blah, you're just doing this, and I don't know why you're doing this to my family. I'm like, okay. And of course, I was a younger man, and I was a lot more cocky than I am now. I don't have, you know, 40 something year old eyes to look at a situation and kind of like, okay, I'm not dealing with that, or even get into that situation. For all you boys out there messing with these married men, leave them alone, they're trouble. but no, and so this show is called My Husband's Not Gay, and I'm like, oh, that just hurts me just to see, because that's a mess. And I feel sorry for these poor women. And it follows four men from Utah that's in the Mormon, that they're all in the Mormon faith. And they've which I'm not knocking their choices. They've chose to go this route. The problem I have with the show, they're still looking at men. You know, they're not acting on men. There was one guy, and now, y'all know, it's no longer called bisexual. They're not gay. It's called SSA, same sex attraction. And I'm like, excuse me? You know, because there was one couple that were sitting at a restaurant, and the husband was checking out the waiter. And the wife says, I just want to know if I'm going home by myself tonight. Girl, bye. What? You know, you're okay with him being SSA. Who wants that much pressure? I feel sorry. Well, no, I don't feel sorry for these ladies, because you know what you got into when you got into a relationship with a gay man. You know, some of them have children. You know, they're making a life with their wives. And the one man was telling the girl, he's like, well, a long time there was, no, the female was saying, I knew he wasn't sexually attracted to me. Girl, go find somebody who loves every part of you 100% without a shadow of a doubt. They want to be all up in your stuff, you know, front, back, side, upside down, you know, not because they're choosing to do something that they don't want to do. I'm like, why would you do that to yourself? You know, why would that be okay? And so then there was another couple, and he's the guy tells his wife, who knows, the wives all know about this SSA. He's like, well, I'm going camping with the boys this weekend. And she was like, well, who are these boys? Well, I really don't know. I met him on the internet. Girl, leave him alone. He's going to, what's that, Sagatuck, where they go have sex out in the, like on Looking this past weekend, right? They're having out, did y'all see Looking on Sunday? Did y'all see that? It was horrible. They was having sex out in the woods, you know. And, you know, you're going camping now. Okay, say I'm straight. Sam straight. And my wife's a lesbian, and I know she's a lesbian, and I know she's attracted to women. And she says, "Oh, by the way, honey, I'm gonna be gone this weekend because I'm going camping with the girls." "Oh, which girls? Your friends, you know, Janine and them?" "Oh, no, somebody I met online." "Girl, no, we're not doing that. I'm not doing that with you." And, you know, it's just like, why? You know, and then they invited another person into the group that knew about same-sex attractions, and she and they introduced her to another friend of theirs who's SSA, and for a blind date. And I'm like, this is all very weird. It is all very strange. Why is that even cool for these females? And I'm like, okay, I don't get it, but if y'all like it, I love it. But it's just an article from the Huffington Post says there was who wrote this article? Zach Ford. The title of the article is "Why TLC's My Husband's Not Gay Is Worth Watching." He goes on to say when TLC announced it would air a 1 hour special called "My Husband's Not Gay," about Mormon men with same-sex attractions who pursue relationships with women, the LGBT community was understandably upset. Over 75,000 signed a petition calling on the network to cancel the show because it promotes the false and dangerous idea that gay people can and should choose to be straight in order to be part of their faith communities. GLAAD President Sarah Kate Ellis denounced the show as downright irresponsible and potentially harmful to young people. TLC didn't cancel the show. It was on this past Sunday, and I don't know if it's on tonight during this Whitney mess. That's not to say that the current concerns about it were not warranted, but "My Husband's Not Gay" is not a puff piece profile or some one-sided documentary with propaganda intent. It's a reality TV show, and so rarely are the subjects of reality shows in a flattering light. This is no exception. Sexual orientation only means one thing. Religious conservatives regularly argue against the idea of identifying individuals by their sexual orientation, though they're increasingly accepting that one's orientation is innate. They discourage people from accepting it is as their identity. I'm sorry. Instead, they distinguish sexuality from sexual behavior and urge those who may have same-sex attraction, SSA, to avoid acting on it. And then it just goes on to say that it is kind of eye-opening how, and it's sad because you hate yourself so much and what you are to the core of yourself, down to the bone marrow, that you would do something that you detest. Now, that's what I think is what I have a problem with. But again, I will agree with the author of that article. It wasn't really shown in a very positive light. You know, it wasn't like the ex-gay ministers and all their propaganda. It was like, oh, really? That's like girl bad. Like it was that type of that situation to where, you know, the four guys would kind of hang out sometimes and they're checking out guys in a very gay store, you know, like Aeropostale and all this. And I was like, yeah, this is y'all are being talked about, and y'all the Mormons are ready to run y'all out of Utah because they're not trying to hear all this from you. But you know, it's worth checking out just to see what's going on, and just to see, you know, that type of world. But I know people struggle. You know, I'm not talking about people who are genuinely struggling with their sexuality. And you know, there's a lot of men who have came out late in life, and they already have families and children and stuff like that, and they finally embrace who they are. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about these people, which it comes off. I wish I got that part from Lexi. This marriage is a sham. They are unequally yoked. But check it out, just to see how crazy it is. We'll be back in a second. know y'all used to kick and twirl to that back in the 90s to Deborah Cox singing Nobody's Supposed to Be Here. That is, again, Deborah Cox. You can find that on iTunes. I'd say it again. but I just love that song. That song started out very, 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 very R&B. I love the R&B version of that song. See that this Whitney stuff is distracting me. I'm seeing it on TV. They played it over again. But no, Deborah Cox. That song was a very R&B song before, and very very slow and very very good. And then, you know, they had to do a remix, and then it kind of really really blew up. But consequently, you know, Deborah Cox has always had those kind of club hits. Crazy great voice. Beautiful girl, but she sung all the vocals on the Whitney Houston movie. All the vocals. So I love what she did with some of the songs, and she kind of had a Whitney. She had a Whitney vibe because the actress who played Whitney Houston, of course, obviously couldn't sing like Whitney Houston, so they used Deborah Cox. But here's the thing: when you have, I don't know what's up with Lifetime and they're not getting the rights to this music like they did with the Aaliyah movie. Y'all not getting the rights, or the person who's producing it is not paying, or they don't want to pay for the rights. I'm sure a lot of this stuff is very expensive. They don't want to pay for the rights to the music to play in the movie, because I would rather see her lip sync to the original Whitney Houston song versus lip sync to Deborah Cox trying to sing like Whitney Houston. Not that Deborah Cox can't sing, but because when you have a voice and you're doing it by a singer like Whitney, and that voice, it almost can't be done unless you have the original music, in my opinion. Aaliyah, come on, Leah was good. She had her swag, but she didn't have a Whitney Houston voice. That the girl who played Aaliyah, she pulled it off vocally, you know, when she did sing. But you know, you need to have the rights, and I think this what kind of made this movie bad. Not that Deborah Cox didn't do her job singing, but it just kind of made it like, ew, that sounds kind of awful, you know, because it's not Whitney, because there's really no one, you know, vocally that could compare to Whitney Houston, you know, from the 80s and 90s and, you know, early 2000, 2001 until, you know, that crack tore that voice up. But, you know, may she rest in peace. But then my other problem with the movie is, like, I think Bobby Brown had his hands in this. And to me, with Angela Bassett, she produced this movie. You know, Wendy Williams produced the Aaliyah movie. Angela Bassett did this one. I will give this a step above Aaliyah because it was produced a little bit more, not as cheap and cheesy as Aaliyah was. But it was still not great. I mean, Angela Bassett did okay, you know, but the portrayals, I don't know how they allowed, I don't know if it was based off a book, you know, autobiography, I mean, well, a biography about Whitney Houston, but this was really slanted on Bobby Brown a lot. This should have been called the Bobby Brown and Whitney Houston story, because I know they talked about it a lot. They talked about it without talking about it, you know. They didn't get to the win. Remember they had that B and Bobby Brown show, and they was both on there cracked the hell out, well, coked out and weed out and heroin, all that stuff they was doing. They didn't get to that part, and they touched on a few movies. Well, one movie, The Bodyguard, the I Will Always Love You, they touched on it. I always thought I'm Every Woman was on My Love Is Your Love, which is my second favorite Whitney Houston movie. It was more contemporary, and that's when I really started liking Whitney Houston. I liked her at the very, very beginning when she was singing Saving All My Love For You, You Give Good Love are still in my top 10 of all for females. Well, yeah, still in my top 10 of my favorite songs ever, especially You Give Good Love. That song is hauntingly good still. It holds up. But I just, again, that y'all just didn't get it right. You just missed the mark. And what is it with Lifetime TV, you know, turning into the black movie channel, the original movie channel? BET, Lifetime is trying to steal your swag, and they're not doing a good job and making you guys look bad in the process because you guys are not attempting any of this stuff. And it just kind of winced, and they just overact. But anyhow, back to the Bobby Brown. They, it's slanted like, and Bobby, in the show, if you guys haven't seen it, it's on Lifetime right now, they kind of made it like the Whitney Houston was already in a bad spot with in her drug addiction, and she gave stuff to Bobby Brown, and then they did stuff together, and then they made it really needy and whiny. Whitney was a G. Whitney was a G. She wasn't this needy, girly sissy that needed saving. You know, of course, I think she needed love, but she didn't need saving because she was a G. You know, for a time, she kept her mom out of her life, her daddy out of her life, and, you know, she said, I'm not dealing with y'all. I got rich, bitch. You know, I don't need y'all. So, but they made her very, very needy and just not what I thought. Because I used to think that, remember Monica the singer? I used to, young girl, phenomenal voice, great talent, you know, and did these really, really nice and sweet interviews. Until I'm like, oh, Monica is an Atlanta girl. You know, she ain't no punk. And then I'm like, oh, you heard it. That's the real Monica. You know, and I kind of think Whitney Houston was. They did get somebody who portrayed Clive Davis really well, but they kind of slanted like Bobby Brown was forced in the shadows, and he wasn't happy about it, and that's why he did what he did. And I'm like, I don't think that's what happened. I think Whitney definitely was going to do whatever she wanted to do. I think Bobby enhanced whatever she was going through within her drug addiction in her life. And I didn't think he would stop her. He wasn't a good influence because he was part of the party, if that makes sense. And it was very odd. It was very odd and not good. And the wigs were bad. Although Whitney had some bad wigs back in the day. I just didn't like it. And, it wasn't as bad as Aaliyah. I don't think anything could be as bad as that. But it wasn't good. And but if you had to see, if you want to see it, you know, you see what I'm talking about. And then Bobby Brown, he had the nerve to have an interview after the show. Interview with Bobby Brown about Bobby Brown on Whitney Houston. Nobody in that family likes you, you know. So how dare you, you know, try to throw more salt in her name that she's gone? Because the reality is, when there's nobody around to defend themselves against the bullshit that you're putting out there, you can say anything. Because only two people know the truth, you and the person that's dead. You know, get your life. But so you guys can catch that. It's not worth catching. But if you have, you don't have nothing to do, or you're in the bathroom, you know, you know, you got a TV in your bathroom, and you catch bits and pieces of it. Because it's, are you cooking? Are you cleaning? You know, let's kind of peep in it. And it's Deborah Cox singing it. The vocals are okay, but it's just not good. It just isn't good. And I know Whitney Houston is rolling in her grave right now. Like, ugh. But Lifetime, I need y'all to stay out of the black movie business, because y'all are two for two. Well, even the Invo movement, three for three, are horrible. Horrible. We'll be right back.
Remember when we held on in the rain? Boy, the nights we almost lost it. Once again, we can take the night into touching you. I feel it all again. together down the line. A moment in the soul can last forever. Comfort and keep us. Help me bring the feeling back again. Didn't we almost have it all? When love was all we had worth giving, the ride with you was worth the fall, my friend. Loving you makes life worth living. Didn't we almost have it all? The nights we held until the morning. You know you'll never love the way again. No, didn't we almost have it all? Didn't we have
That was an incomparable Whitney Houston. From some concert, I didn't see what the concert was from, but that's one of my favorite songs by her. It was during the time I didn't like her, her music, but that's, as I've gotten older, I've come to like that song a lot, because I know a lot of people can relate to that song, you know. I'm relating to it more lately than before. Welcome back. It is a 5x5 Late Night Show. My name is David. And we're back after a short winter hiatus. Unlike my other television shows that have been off for a while, I think Gotham returned last week. The Flash and Arrow, I think, come back next week. Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't come back till March, because right now we're on Agent Carter, which is unfortunately kind of whack. But The Flash, The Arrow, Gotham, and they've all been picked up for another season, which is cool. We'll get to see how they how Flash's sophomore season will be. Of course, Arrow, you know, they need to change some things because it's losing a little steam. Gotham, I think it's just going to get better. A lot of people don't like it. I actually enjoy it. And that's about it. You know, there's other shows that I watch have already returned, like the little situational comedies. But so happy about that. But we took a break, and not because it was winter or anything or Christmas. It was because I was tired and I just really haven't had the opportunity to talk with you guys. You know, always going forward, you can find all of our shows on our fan page, our Facebook page at facebook.com/the5x5, and all completely spelled out. And there's some stuff on there, and don't forget to run over there. If you follow the show and you like the show, give us a like on Facebook, or you can follow me on Twitter at the5x5, THE5BY5, the5x5 with the 5 numeric, just like in our blogspot.com blog, the5x5.blogspot.com. You can check us out there as well. Let's see what else. Oh, and Instagram. I'm an Instagrammer. Instagram, One Funny Guy, the number one, FUNNYGUY. Follow me over there and you'll see all my geeky, most of the time, the majority of the stuff is geeky, mostly comic books and pop figures. And I've been pop figure crazy here lately. I've almost completed my set of the X-Men, Marvel X-Men. I have Magneto, I have Colossus, I have Professor X, I have Cyclops. There was another, and I have Storm. I just need the Mystique. So if somebody wants to send me the Mystique, I'd appreciate it. You know, but I've been getting some really good deals on Amazon and Barnes and Noble, and picking them up different places. I get to the point I can't stand Hot Topic. It's not because of the store. It's because of these employees. A young lady, after all these months I've been shopping there and they know who I am, she was the first person who's ever called me when my name is on the list. When new pops come in, she's the only one that's ever called me and said, "Hey, we got this. You better get over here. Do you want me to put one back?" And it happens to be the exclusive Crawley from Supernatural. My Supernatural is complete. My Supernatural set is complete. I do have two of the exclusives, the Castiel with wings, and the Crawley now with the red eyes. So been doing that. I have a stack of comic books to read. I'm still going to the store after New Comic Book Day, which is on Wednesdays. I'm still going and grabbing some and reading a few, but I'm probably 30 behind right now, because that's how much I've been working. Of course, I've said that 1,000 times already. so, yeah, I haven't been able to read some stuff. But if you follow me on Instagram, you can see all those kind of pictures and kind of what I'm into. That's where I kind of geek out about on Instagram. And, you know, it's fun for me. But if you don't collect pop figures, you should, because it's fun. I don't know what I'm going to do with them. They're just kind of laying all over the place right now. I did finally box a few of them up. Well, not a few, about 30 of them up, just to clear up some space, because my Virgo OCD had got the best of me, and I'm like, I can't do no more with this. I can't do any more. I'm not going to do any more with it, because I'm doing too much. But then I'm still buying some. That's a mess. we're getting close to right over an hour, and I didn't plan on talking this much tonight. I guess I had some stuff to say, right? last thing, and then we'll go. There is a guy, and I lost the article now, who wrote about the last gay taboo, and it happens to be chubby chasers. I mean, come on, is that taboo or is it taboo? I'm not sure if that's in the realm of something being taboo or not, but it just might be, you know, it just might be. But that, you know, what the blog is another one. I love the Huffington Post, right? It's called Fat Sex, the Last Gay Taboo. Dan Oliverio, I guess. 6 feet, 225 solid pounds, able to bench press 350, and the man resembles Jason Alexander's more attractive, very muscular younger brother. And he is okay, traction wise, it's cute. He wrote a book, and he says one night, he mentioned he liked the new version of the VW Bug. And somebody says, only because it's shaped like your boyfriend. Dan laughs at rehearsal and began. What? If that wasn't an insult, was Dan what Dan was is a Chevy Chaser. He says, and so I was full of questions mostly. How can someone who looks like you be attracted to guys who look like that? But he said, I was far more too polite and professional to ask. He says, fast forward to 2013, Dan, now a self-described out loud Chevy Chaser, is living in Los Angeles, the city of hyper real magazine beauty, and he lectures and offers private counseling and writes extensively on the topic. His book, this is the book, I want to get him on the show, so cross your fingers. His book, Round World, Men Who Chase Obesity and What Drives Us, is coming out this spring. He's also appeared on MTV's True Life, The Tyra Banks Show, and other programs. Meanwhile, he moved to LA and created a popular gay comedy web series, Old Dogs and New Tricks. So you guys can check that out. And that's about four middle-aged gay friends living in youth-obsessed Hollywood. He said, now I'm always looking for unique storylines and original angles. As I plotted the show's third season, I remember how puzzled I was by this man with a superhero physique and a propensity for overweight men. The topic seemed ideal for the perpetually perplexed character, Muscles. Other than it, as a comic bit in the play in the film, The Ritz by Terrence McNally, he'd never seen chubby chasing as a plot device in the show, and certainly not as anything other than a joke. He said he became puzzled where a community that supposedly embraces fringe elements, yet chubby chasing is still a joke. Why, for instance, are golden showers a less shocking topic of conversation than an attraction to men who don't fit the mainstream idea of perfection? Why was it still considered taboo, if not perverse? And then he goes on to talk more about the cast and a character who's trying to hide the fact that he dates obese men. And you know, then they go through about how chubby chasing, is that a correct term? Is it offensive? I've always heard of chubby chasing, and it's kind of mean, but you know, it is what it is. And something else that I thought was interesting, he said he knew he was into fat when he was 5. He didn't figure out he was gay until he was 20. And I thought that was kind of interesting. But you know, I've dated guys who like me because I'm a man of a particular size. They liked it thicker, like the thicker guy. This is one guy that, and it was really funny because I dated this guy, and we actually dated, you know, a couple of years off and on, and it wasn't because of I'm a big guy, he was a little guy thing. It was because he didn't want to work, you know. So I'm not taking care of no one, and so he was very, to me, he was very, very uber attractive, and I used to have those body image issues. I still have a little bit, and I was like, why do you like me? You know, I because you're built. He was a construction worker. You're built. You're handsome. He had a couple tooths that wasn't right. T tooth. I said tooths, right? I said tooths. I said tooths.
I got two words. I got two words, girl. Bye.
I said tooths. He had he had two teeth that wasn't quite right, but I dealt with it. But other than that, he was, you know, I was like, I was, you know, totally into this person. So and then I just, and he was like, well, you just stop it. He's like, this is what I like. And it wasn't a thing for him. It was just like, liking ice, chocolate ice cream versus vanilla. And that's not an interracial joke, although it was an interracial relationship. He's like, just stop making it a thing because you're weirding me out. You know, and I'm like, oh, you know, that makes sense. And then I dated somebody else that was really, it was a thing for him. You know, the one person, it wasn't a thing. It was just like, it was what I like. It's no big deal. But the other person, it was like a thing. And that made me weird, you know, because you have these people out there that want to get you fatter. You know, they want to feed your butt and shit all day. So, so you go waddle around, you know, and turn them on. I ain't into that. Don't give me no butter. And I can get my own damn butter. I don't need no help. But no. So I just think, I just read something on Facebook. It was a young guy on the Gay Geek Facebook page, talking about how he read an article about lowering your standards. And the first thing he went to was, you know, why should I lower my standard if I think somebody is ugly? Why should I give an ugly person a chance if they're not, you know, on my level of what I think is beautiful? I get it, but others think that's very, very, very shallow. You know, no, you don't have to give somebody you're not attracted to. But if your standard is based on beauty, then you have deeper things going on with you. And that's kind of the gay community in a whole. We're so focused on the perfect person and the perfect man. You know, you sit around here, and that the article was trying to say, you know, you're running around here looking for the perfect man that hits on all points. Not that you shouldn't. But you're gonna miss your man, you know, trying to find the perfect man, you know, because the perfect man does not exist, but the perfect man for you does, you know. And I think that comes in, you know, different shapes and sizes. They did this the other day on Looking. Remember I mentioned that earlier. They did it on Looking, and the one guy, I forget their names because it was so silly. The little hairy guy now. There is a bear guy, and he had made kind of a, you know, one of those jaded comments about bears, and then he ended up, you know, liking him. You know, he took the chance to like him. And sometimes you have to go below the surface of what you think is physically attractive or physically appealing. And that's not me being preachy. I just think it's just me being real. Because, you know, there's the people I'm like, I'm not really interested in you. And then you know, from a, you have to be attractive because when it comes down, you want to get the person in bed, right? But then sometimes, you know, people surprise you. You know, I've been surprised a few times in my life, and I've learned to, okay, you know, maybe I was wrong and about judging you on this particular feature. Like, you know, I've talked before how like I have problem with bad teeth, you know, but I think that's a hygiene thing. That's not an attraction thing. But anyhow, that was kind of an interesting thing. So if you want to find out about Chubby Chasers, look that up, and you can see what it is in the show notes, hopefully. But I've kept you guys too long tonight. So hopefully I'll be back on Tuesday because I have a light work week. Or maybe I'll be back on Saturday. I don't like podcasting on Saturdays. But check me out on Stitcher. Of course, we're on iTunes and right here live and archived on Spreaker.com. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for joining me. Thank you guys for letting me just be me. And I'm still here. I'm not going anywhere. And if you're not going my way, get the hell out of the way. You guys have a great rest of your weekend. Have a great next week, and I will see you next time. Good night, everybody. Who should be hurt and who should be blessed? Who should be hurt? Who should be ashamed? Trying to blame me when I don't even know the reason. I think it's just the season. Maybe the month, maybe the feeling. Now tell me what's the reason. Snoop video looks like it's even. So
talk and cut the reason, girl. Put the blame and cut the name and cut the sneaking, girl. I think you need some prayer, better call a deacon, girl. So get your act right or else we won't be speaking, girl. So what's it gonna be? Me and you? Or is it gonna be who blames who? I'm tired of these things, I'm tired of these scars. I think I'm gonna give me a drink. I'll call you tomorrow. We'll be right back.